chapter 13. We're walking on a journey. It's almost like as we go through on this journey in Revelation chapter 13, things begin to happen. We see, we understand, we feel, we experience. It's almost like a movie's been rolling. And we're getting to watch it. Because chapter 1, we saw how the Lord Jesus Christ appeared. And He made Himself known. Chapters 2 and chapter 3, we watched the church ages unfold. And we saw the characteristics that are found in all the church ages, but yea, rather in this last church age. Church of the Laodicea. Getting ready. Getting ready. And then we moved into heaven. The rapture occurred in chapter 4. We moved into heaven and there was celebration. Celebration like we've never heard about. And we saw the representation of all the churches there in heaven. And then chapter 5, all of a sudden a book was opened up. And then out of this book there was the redemption of mankind, redemption of the earth. And as this book was opened up, all of a sudden we began to see certain things that were very unpleasant. We saw the seven trumpets, the seven seals, and then we see these trumpets, these seals, these seven thunders begin to echo, the echo of judgment. All of a sudden, I got captured just for a moment. I said, wait a minute. This is for people who need to be encouraged. John. The Apostle John, he was on the Isle of Patmos, probably in his 90s. He was on this deserted island for criminals, Alcatraz, for some might be able to picture. There just for survival of the fittest. And there he was there. God spoke to him to encourage the people. And so as God spoke to John, through the angel, through Jesus, all of a sudden, we get to see the last picture. We get to see it unfold right before our eyes. And then we get to hear the things that John couldn't even write about. Those thunders. They were hidden. God's majesty, God's sovereignty. Holding it up even to that last moment. And then as that began to transpire, we said, we need hope. And there He gave us two witnesses. Two witnesses that rose up and led probably the 144,000 Jewish evangelists, led them to the Lord, and we saw them killed, and then we saw them rise from the dead. Heard the call to go up, and they ascended. These witnesses of Jesus Christ. These things are beginning to develop, and then all of a sudden we saw the Israel come on the scene. She was the woman, and we saw the dragon attacking her, and we saw the deliverance of Israel, even as God is delivering Israel today. Even though they're on the front page of almost every newspaper, they're still alive. Millions of Arabs, Muslims that would like to see them destroyed, but yet that small group of God's people are there. The clock, it's ticking. And then all of a sudden it's going to go boom one day. And then that 7 years, the rapture of the church, the 7 year kicks off a building of the temple. And then all of a sudden, there's two figures that are going to come on the scene. Demonic, yes. Human, yes. Political, yes. Religious, yes. But before I develop these two guys as they come on the scene, I want you to skip down into Revelation chapter 13 and see verse 10. Because we're fixing to bring out some stuff, folks, here in just a moment. But verse 10 says, "He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with a sword must be killed with a sword." Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Folks, what I want to ingrain in your mind just for a moment right here, as I develop these two characters right in the heart of this chapter, here is the patience. Here is the endurance. Here is the faith of the saints. So what is in it for us today? Folks, We must be encouraged to rise and stand tall and share the good news of Jesus Christ and live out the good news of Jesus Christ and take the gospel, take the word throughout this world, through Gideon's or through the 5,000 Southern Baptist missionaries abroad or the 5,000 missionaries here at home. We must get the word out. Because here's the bottom line. Here is the endurance and here is the faith of the saints. Those who are going to lead into captivity, they're going into captivity. Those who kill with a sword will be killed with a sword. But the saints, you're going to stand tall and you're going to live forever. Oh, this body may lay down as a martyr. This head may be separated from this body. This body might be burned before your eyes, even as it is being done in our country in the last few weeks of some Christians in a different nation who have been burned before their family's eyes, over 100 martyred Christians. This is happening today. We don't feel it. We don't sense it because we don't know them personally and we're not connected to that city, that nation, that country where it's going on personally. This is what's happening. But in the course of all of this, here's the endurance. Here's the patience. Saints, stand tall. Stand for your faith. It will last. Now we're going to move into this. Chapter 13, verse 1. The Scripture says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his name, his heads, the name of blasphemy." What is this beast that's rising up out of the sea? In recognition, when we see the word sea, let's remember that means massive people. In most cases, when we see the word sea, that is going to be a wicked body of people. And we see now coming up out of this group, oh, as it would be found in Isaiah chapter 57, verse 20 and 21, "But the wicked are like the troubled sea, which it cannot rest, whose waters can cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." So coming out of Isaiah, Isaiah said that out of this sea of wicked people, now one is arising. He is a beast. He is the Antichrist. He is the Antichrist. As he rise up from among the people, he will be wicked in his most extreme area. And as we see, this beast is going to come out from among the people. He's going to rise up with political power and prestige, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns, 10 crowns. And all of these, remember the number 7 is perfection, 10 is complete. So we're seeing that this beast, this Antichrist, this son of perdition, he is going to be given the power from Satan himself. This man is going to rise up and be empowered by Satan himself. He will be given complete power, a completeness inside of this. All that wickedness will muster up, all of it will bring together of a lifetime. It will be there. How do we know it's coming forth? How do we know he's so satanically inspired? Revelation chapter 12, verse 3 says, "And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head." Does that sound familiar? Is that not the verse, sound like the verse I just read? But the great dragon, Revelation chapter 12, verse 9 says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast in with him." So what do we have right here? We have the personification of Satan, a man who is born, a man who is demonically possessed, a man who is empowered by Satan himself. Satan is the great red dragon. A man who will stand before. And who is this man? Isn't it amazing how every time a leader rises up, somebody says, "That's the Antichrist." They said it about Henry Kissinger. They said it about John F. Kennedy. And some people are saying it about Obama. He's the personification of the Antichrist. They don't know that. I think it's somebody that's rising up and getting all stirred up and wanting to stir up people. Listen, folks, I personally don't see where they can even hold a match to this guy that's coming. And you'll see him. You'll see him develop here in just a moment, right before your eyes. But will people follow him? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. Whoso opposeth and exalted himself that all that is called God, or that is worshiped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This is the follower, this is the Antichrist, and this is the one who's going to rise up and be in that temple, and he's the one who's going to capture the attention of the world. A European philosopher wrote these words. He said, if the devil could offer solution to the pancreas of this world, I would gladly follow the devil. Would you? Would you gladly follow the devil if he could make sense out of this society? If all of a sudden on our political realm, we had a person who rose up who was anti-God, he was anti... Well, he may not call himself anti-God, but he had no God following, but yet he had the answers that would put our economic mess up together. Would you vote? Would you follow that person? You see, the point is this. In America, we need to follow people who follow God. And if you're not registered to vote, here's my commercial. Go get registered to vote. You have a voice. And then voice your conviction in whom God tells you. You can make a difference. One person can make a difference. Don't think it doesn't matter. It does matter. It matters right here because this guy is going to be the political leader. Look in verse 2, he said, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the bear, and his mouth as the mouth of the lion, and the dragon, remember the dragon, and the dragon gave him power and his seat and great authority. Satan himself is going to give this Superman power, authority, and a throne. We've seen him. You go to the book of Daniel, and you will see him. You will see the four great nations. There's only been four great nations who rose up with this world power. You will see the Babylonians. Hey, that's the first one that we recognize right here. The leopard, representation of Babylon. And then we see the others who will rise up. Babylon was line of the regal rulers. And then there's the Medes and the Persians, the second great world power. The lion, and the Medes and the Persians, they were bare. They were strong, massive, strong forces that would literally go out and crush. And then the third nation is that of the Greek. That's the leopard rapid movement to conquer the world as Alexander the Great. And the fourth great world empire was that of the Roman Empire. And that's going to be the world empire of the Antichrist, will be the Roman Empire. So what are we saying right here? He identifies for us what is coming and how he will be empowered. Verse 3 says, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. Look at this. Satan tries to copy everything that God does. Satan tries to counterfeit. If you got the Trinity, do you know that there's an unholy Trinity? The unholy Trinity, what is the unholy Trinity? The anti-God is Satan, the anti-Christ is the Antichrist, and the anti-Holy Spirit is the false prophet. But they even want to identify, they want to bring up to focus for us right here that there's even going to be a false counterfeit resurrection. Look at this. You'll see it. Verse 3. And I saw one of his heads as it was wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Can you imagine that? Here's this personality who's called all the world. All of a sudden now, he gets shot down for whatever reason, way, or method, or means, I do not know. His body will lay there on CNN. The whole world will say, what has happened to this guy? But y'all remember a couple of weeks ago, the two witnesses, what happened to them? They lay dead for 3 days in the street and God resurrected them, right? And they were called up into heaven. What's going to happen to this guy? Right before the eyes of America on YouTube, this guy's going to be down and dead. But all of a sudden, the counterfeit comes back to life. And the whole world is going to say, wow, look at this guy. And what's he going to do? Verse 4. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? What has Satan been wanting to do all the time? Doesn't Satan want to be worshiped? Now he's got his Superman there. Demonically possessed. Counterfeit resurrection. He rises up and the world says, this is the man. And all the world will follow him. Will you follow after the way of the world? Many times, folks, if you watch the way the crowd's going, it's generally wrong. So don't go with the crowd. Don't run with the crowd. It's generally wrong. And what's going to happen right here? This dragon is going to receive the power from Satan himself. And they worship him and they worship the beast. Hey, do y'all remember Jesus when he was out in the wilderness? Matthew chapter 4, chapter 5. All of a sudden, Jesus went out in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. And he was tempted three times, at least three times. And in those temptations, one of the times, Satan took him up to this high place and said, look at all the glory of the world. He said, I'll give all of this to you if you will just bow down and worship me. And what did Jesus say? Man, you crazy. Modern translation. Okay. Man, you crazy. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And so he would not bow down and he would not worship. But wait a minute. A couple of thousand years later, a guy comes on the scene. Satan says, I'll give you all this glory if you will bow down and worship me. And he bows. And he receives all the power of Satan himself. Who is like the beast? Verse 5. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Oh, see that word 42 months? Keeps coming back, doesn't it? 42 months, 1,260 days, 3.5 years. What do we see right here? We see this Superman coming on board, but we see his time is limited. He's given 3.5 years, and that's it, buddy. That's the reason why Satan's going to be so mad and so stirred up when he gets kicked out of heaven. And Michael and the archangel, he says, you can't go back to heaven no more. He's going to stand in the gate. Satan has only one place, and it's on the earth. And Satan knows that he is going to be limited. And now, all of a sudden, his Superman takes power. 3.5 years. His time is limited. All evil is limited, folks. God is going to win. And so we see that now he's going to take this power. He's going to deceive the nations. In verse 6, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy. What's his motivation? What's really driving? Why is this guy so mad? Because Satan is seeking to attack. Who does Satan really want to destroy? Satan is mad and angry with God. And you know why he's so mad and angry with us? Because we love God. And so therefore, because we love God, Satan is mad and angry with us. So the scripture says right here, he opened his mouth and slanders and blaspheming God and blaspheme his name and his temple and them that dwell in the heaven. All that's heavenly, he's slandering it. Verse 7, he can't get to heaven now. He's blocked out. He's defeated. So what does he do? Verse 7 says, and it was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Two pictures right there. First picture I want you to see, he makes war with the saints. Okay? And he says he will overcome them. What does that mean? Thousands upon millions of saints who are saved at the preaching of the 144,000 and the two witnesses, they're going to be beheaded, they're going to be burned, they're going to be slaughtered, they're going to be murdered because Satan and his superstar is going to make war against them. And that's not all. He's going to seek to kill the Christian, but he's also going to deceive. He's going to go after to deceive all the nations of the world, it says right there. And power was given to him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. And why? Because verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. capture that. Everyone's name who is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will follow Satan's superstar. The question this morning is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? There's only two books, okay? The Book of Life, the Lamb's Book of Life, and that's those who are going to heaven. And if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, then you could be super inscribed. Maybe there's not a book in existence, but you would be super inscribed. Right here it says, all whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will follow the beast. So see, you have a choice today. You can say, oh man, what you're talking about is way off someplace. This sounds like a fairy tale. It's not a fairy tale. It's reality. It's right here before our very eyes. And we see these things coming into focus right here. Where is your name written? Are you born again? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? If not, you will follow Him. Verse 9 says, if any man hath an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with a sword shall be killed with a sword. Here is the patience. Here is the endurance. Here is the faith of the saints. Folks, we know God's in charge and He's moving it. Now, hold on to your seat. We're going to get there. All of a sudden, what you're looking at right now, you've seen the political leader. But if a man is going to make it politically, he's also got to bring forth the religious world behind him. For these last few minutes, I want you to just grab hold. Verse 11 says, and I beheld in another beast coming up out of the earth. Where did the other beast come up out of? The seas. But this beast comes up out of the earth, comes up out of the land. He has two horns like a lamb. A lamb doesn't have horns. But what have you heard about a lamb? Jesus Christ is a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So therefore, all of a sudden, we have this imposter, but with horns, with power. Horns recognize power. And he spake as a dragon. Who is the dragon? Satan, okay? So all of a sudden, now you've got this religious leader who's rising up from the land, not from the massive seas, but from the land, from the institution. All of a sudden, now you've got this. You got this beast rising up. He is a political leader. I'm sorry, he is a religious leader. He is the false prophet. Verse 12 says, and he exercised all the power of the first beast before him and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. That counterfeit resurrection, y'all remember that? Now, all of a sudden, this religious leader is telling everybody, worship the political beast, this political leader. Now, he's connected the economic world and the religious world, and he's saying, everybody worship him. And if you don't worship him, this is what's going to happen. Verse 12 says that he received all the power now from Satan because that's where it came from. Verse 13, and he doth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven and on the earth in the sight of all men. Do y'all remember fire coming down from heaven? Do you remember in the days of Elijah? In the days of Elijah, all of a sudden they said, go up here and get Elijah, bring Elijah down. And all of a sudden he says, if I'm a man of God, Elijah called down fire from heaven and he consumed the soldiers that came after him. Satan has power, folks. Satan can perform miracles, folks. God is going to give him the ability to perform these miracles and deceive the world, even though it was fire out of heaven. How is that fire coming? I don't know. I don't know. Is it an atomic bomb? Is it a new... I don't know. The mind can only imagine this fire coming out. Is it a laser? I don't know. But I do know this. I do know that Satan's religious leader, his superstar, his preacher, his angel of light who is demonically possessed, I know that he is going to be given ability to call fire out of heaven, verse 14, and deceive them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying this, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image of the beast, which hath the wound by a sword, and did live. And he had power to give them unto the image of the beast. And the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Wow. We see this picture before in the book of Daniel when Nebuchadnezzar, when this great image, and he said if anybody did not bow down and worship the image, then they would be burned. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's just to give you a mental picture. Anybody that does not worship this beast, how is this beast? What is this image going to be like? Is it television? I don't know. Folks, when I went down to Walt Disney a few years back and I walked into the President's Hall and all of a sudden Abraham Lincoln starts talking to me and George Washington, it was like those guys were there. I mean, it was real. It just seemed so real. I mean, like you were in the throne. You were in a hall with all these great men, but they wasn't nothing but screws and bolts and cloth over there. But I tell you, if Walt Disney can do that, what can Satan do? This image portrayed, is it over TV? I don't know what it's exactly what it's going to be like. I don't know. But I do know this, that he's going to have the ability to speak, and those that don't worship him should be killed. Verse 16, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive the mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he hath the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that understandeth it count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. It's man's number. And his number is 666. The most famous number in all the world, 666. Every time I come across a number like that, I kind of shiver up a little bit. If you don't have the number, if you don't have the chip, you don't have the brand, you don't have the name, you won't be able to buy food. So what's going to happen to you? You got two choices. If you want to eat, take the mark. If you want to live, not be, at least not be killed by the beast, take the mark. But if you take the mark, you'll not be able to go to heaven. You will give your soul to the devil and it will be signed, sealed, waiting to be delivered into the lake of fire. That's the mark. We've seen the mark of the Holy Spirit earlier. All the men were sealed. 144,000, nothing could happen to them until they were sealed. And now we see another seal right here. Which one will we choose? May we choose the Holy Spirit. Do you have the patience? Do you have the faith? Do you know God's in control? Yes, there is a religious leader rising up. Yes, there is a political leader rising up. And yes, they will be satanically inspired. And yes, they will have power to perform miracles. And yes, they will counterfeit a resurrection. And yes, they will deceive the nations. And yes, they will slay the saints. But the good news is, it ain't over, folks. Yeah, I know. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you this morning, we come before you recognizing that you are God and your power, O Lord, is in control. And Lord, we see these things are happening. It's just a matter of time. It's not a matter of if, it's when. And when these things take place, O Father, where will our name be written? Father, I pray for every person in here that their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and they know they're going to heaven. If not, Lord, they are subject to following the deception of the evil one. Even in this day and time, they are suspect to following the deception of the evil one and turn their back on the only way to heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. So, Father, I pray now for the saints that we will stand tall, that we will endure unto the end, and that the faith found in Christ will be victorious in our every walk and our every moment. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for letting us see what's going to happen. and prepare today, Lord, for the future. And prepare those who are around us, we work with, we love, we're related. Father, help us to share good news with them in preparation for the future. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, if you'd like to give your life to Jesus Christ, we encourage that. If you've never been born again, we encourage you to come and just say, Brother Robert, I want Jesus in my heart. That's all you have to say. We'll talk about what the Scripture has to say. You're not going to have to carry on a big speech or nothing like that. Jesus did the hard part. All we have to do is repent and believe. Come, give your life to Jesus. Prayer altars are open. Do business with God. You know somebody that needs help? Hey, look, I don't know a better place to get connection to God than at the altar. Do you have to go to the altar? The answer is no. You can do business right where you are, but there's something about going to the altar just kind of seals things. Let God know you're doing business. Great things are happening today in our country. Great opportunities are right before our eyes. When we see economics crumble, we can lift up Jesus Christ and say, folks, there's hope. There's hope. There's hope. What are we doing for Christ this week? This week. This week. Let's stand together and sing.